Welcome to another episode of the Identity Theft Warriors, your frontline defense against identity theft. We're all about prevention. To find out more, go to keepmyid.org. Use the code FSN2 and you can get started now. Welcome. You are listening to the Identity Theft Warriors. This is show number 45. Lot of things that you need to understand going on in identity theft. You know that it's always changing. Thieves are incredibly resourceful and they're always changing up. Just when you think you've got a handle on it, they come up with something else. And the person who's probably the most knowledgeable or one of the most knowledgeable people in the country on the topic is John Celio. John, you've been with us before. It all started for you when your identity got stolen from your business, $300,000 embezzled from your clients. And then it kind of started you on a journey to help other people so that you can avoid a similar fate as befell John. So, John, it's always great to have you back.
Terry, I love being here. Thank you for thinking of me.
Hey, so we got this ransomware thing, and up to now, it seems like it's pretty much larger entities who are getting hit by it. But this thing is pretty scary, isn't it?
Yeah, ransomware is a real shift in perspective. It kind of, you know, with the Sony case of the government of North Korea being able to take information and use it for influence, right, to shut down the release of the interview.
Yeah.
That was kind of the blooming of this whole branch of cybercrime that is cyber blackmail, which is, okay, it may not be personally identifying information on the person, but if we lock it up and they can't get to it, it's just as valuable. It could be your pictures of your kids, your videos, your tax documents. Let's lock it up with encryption, this great encryption software, so that nobody can get to it, including you, and then let's charge you a fee to get back to it. So it's a totally different strain of cyber grossness.
And there was one, I think it was a hospital or some company.
Oh, yeah.
For weeks they were trying
Hollywood
to break
it.
Yeah.
They shut them down.
Yeah.
I mean, they shut a hospital down with medical records,
right,
for long enough that it was, you know, a health problem.
Yeah, it's a little scary. They had to go back to paper records. Imagine this is everybody's nightmare. There was once a movie called The Web with, I can't remember her name, but basically they were so connected. Everything was so connected. They were able to kill a guy just by hacking into the pharmacy's computer, changing his drug and his dosage, and the guy popped it up and popped the pill and he was gone. And this is kind of what it reminds me of. You know, they're getting this kind of access can really work, wreak havoc in your life and in companies' operations.
Well, yeah, and the thing that's scary is it happens just as easily to you and I on an individual computer. You know, it's the same old techniques. It's phishing in general, phishing email schemes that do it. But I'll tell you what, somebody locks up your vacation pictures or whatever's, you know, most important to you, and suddenly it becomes very real. And we're seeing almost 90% of businesses pay the ransom, which shows you how incredibly important that data is and how ill prepared people are. And there are things you can do to stop it.
Yeah. So what do you do to stop this? This is a really hard one because for business networks, many people have access to them. People you might not have even dealt with in years, but you didn't get rid of the back door or they changed their password and boom, you could just get hit out of nowhere.
Yeah. So let me give you some really practical stuff. Now, none of these by themselves solves the problem. That's how cybersecurity is. You got to layer on these approaches, right? But individually, as you take them, you become less and less at risk. So number one, whether you're a home user or a business, getting third-party spam filtration software, because 99% of ransomware comes through a click scheme. They get you to click on something you shouldn't have. And a lot of that can be detected, not by your regular spam filter in your Outlook or your spam filter in your Apple, but it's the third-party spam filter that all it does is look for bad email. It knows bad websites. It knows the terminology and the verbiage. And, you know, spending $10 a year on one of those individually, or, you know, for a decent sized business, $100 or a couple hundred a year, you're going to get rid of 99% of those emails that people click on to start with. That's step one.
Well, yeah, that's a good thing. And it doesn't matter whether you have an Apple or a PC, I should say a Mac or a PC. These things are going after both platforms, right?
Absolutely. Ransomware for Apple came out a couple of weeks ago, a really nasty one. Don't think that because you're Apple any longer, you're protected. Now that it has as big of a market share because of its iOS devices, it's just as at risk.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's another one. The thing that businesses aren't doing, quite frankly, is they're not taking the time to train their humans. So I was out at giving a speech in gorgeous West Palm Beach, Florida for a large client yesterday. And
right by my house here, so not too far away.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Well, it was a gorgeous day, and yeah. I come out of the speech, and all of the questions of these executives were, we can't get our people to stop clicking on phishing links. Right? The same way that the Anthem hack happened and part of the Target hack and these massive things. Well, guess what? They're not training properly on it. They haven't solved the training issue. And that's their problem. It's not a software thing. It's not a technology thing. It's a human thing. And you got to take the time to train your people correctly.
Absolutely. There's no question about it. It starts first with that. The movie I was trying to remember is actually entitled The Web, and that was with Sandra Bullock.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And it was kind of a portent of things to come because it really wasn't that practical, many of these things that were put forth in the movie until recently, until the past 4 or 5 years. And this came out in the late 90s. So, yeah. So you got to train your people, obviously, and you got to be a little bit lucky perhaps. And what else do you do?
So there's one technique that is better than the rest. You get an email of any sort with a link in it, and you change your habit. You change the trigger. When you see that link, A, if you weren't expecting it, B, if you don't know who it's come from, C, if your gut says, hang on, you don't click on it. You either enter, if it's from Target, you enter target.com directly in the URL, or you hover over the link and you see if it's taking you where it says that it's taking you. Mm. And if it doesn't end in target.com, it ends, you know, it goes target.gibberish.ru, it's taking you to Russia, you don't click on it.
Yeah.
And that basic hovering over that link technique is something that 99% of people don't even know to do.
Yeah, and you can also right-click on that link, right? And that will actually, you can copy the link. It says, I mean, they're a little different on PCs and Macs, but you hover over the link, you can right-click it, copy it, and then just paste it onto a Word document or a note or whatever, and you'll see where that thing is going as well. One thing I've noticed, and my antivirus software, whatever it is, has been picking this up. I use a free one called Sophos Antivirus for the Mac, and it's quite excellent. Invoices, all right? Companies send you invoices, and the first thing you want to do is pop that thing open. Well, it looks like it's a Word macro virus that they're trying to get you on here.
You bet.
And really, it's quite shocking that people would fall for this, but I've got dozens of them here, John. They seem to be coming after you, trying to get you on that stuff. It's rather remarkable.
Yeah, it is. And they're getting more crafty in that it's not just links anymore. Now, you're right, it's attachments. It looks like a UPS invoice. Well, we all use UPS or FedEx or PayPal, or now it's even a .html file. Mm. And it sets up a mini little website on your site that looks exactly like the website you're supposed to be at. But of course, all it's doing is siphoning off your information when you enter it.
Yeah, it never ceases to amaze what they're capable of doing here. And
constant, stay one step ahead.
Yeah. Constant vigilance is the only way to avoid it, because just like a house thief will see that you've got burglar alarms there, you've got dogs barking and, keep out signs and probably NRA membership stickers plastered all over your house. Maybe it's a good idea to go to another house and rob that one. I think it works the same way with cybercrime. It's if you've got enough defenses and layers of security, like you said, then they'll probably just look elsewhere and leave you alone. So
yeah, Gary, you've hit upon it, which is they're lazy, right? They want the path of least resistance. They go for the low-hanging fruit. And when you put up a couple of barriers, they move to the person next door, the business next door.
Yeah, so true. So true. So if you've been watching the news, you've seen that Apple is in a tremendous dispute with the U.S. government, with the Justice Department, centering around the San Bernardino terrorist killer's iPhone that they want to unlock. And basically, if I'm correct, they pretty much want Apple to hand over a hacking device that will enable them to get into any phone at any time without triggering the auto wipe feature, which is if you try to get into your phone 10 times and fail on the 11th one, boom, wipes it out. And I'm sure you've been following this, John. What are your thoughts?
My thoughts are that they are taking an emotional story, the FBI is, which we all care deeply about, and we picture our kids or ourselves being part of, and wanting that FBI to have as much information at catching those guys as possible, the you know, whoever it is. And they're using it to try and build a systemic backdoor into an Apple product so that they can use it for other things than just San Bernardino. So if they were to say, listen, we want one-time access, if you can get it without changing the operating system, and you know, never again. But of course, it's a slippery slope. So once they give one-time access to that and break the encryption, actually build software that, in like you stated, it takes off the 10 attempt wipe. You are creating a security concern for a billion phones, and you're potentially getting minimal information or even a lot of information on one case or 10 cases. So the problem that you're creating security-wise and privacy-wise is far bigger than what you're solving security-wise.
Yeah. And I mean, I think there's enough insecurity here, John, in your mobile devices, potential for hacking, that all of a sudden it's now, oh my God, they can get to this now. Do they really need to? I understand the need to get the data on this particular instance. And to me, the thing to do is hand the unit over to Apple and let them hack it with a court order.
You're right. It should have been done behind the scenes. This is not a public conversation. This is why we hire or don't hire, why we elect officials that make these decisions, not in the public opinion, because they're more complex than a yes or a no, than just security versus privacy. And they should really be handled outside of view, and they should hack that single phone and not tell any of us that that's where they got the information. But it's too late. The FBI made a gross error in bringing this out into the public forum. And what they didn't anticipate was, you know, 47 to 43 people side with Apple on this particular issue and side with the overall privacy and security of the individual devices.
Yeah. And you think about it, it just makes sense to do that, because it's like they don't need to hack into everything. And now I've seen stories, John, that say that they're actually looking for Apple to turn over their whole operating system. Right? I mean, come on. Yep. That's just not reasonable here. And
no.
Why do they need this? Why do they need to hack everybody in the world? Because that's what they're asking. I assume they can probably already do it with Android.
It's totally open with Android.
Yeah.
Literally, you and I could do it with Android.
Right. Pretty simple. So, yeah, it's like you said, they've really botched this thing. Because you can see the need in this particular instance to get at the contents of that phone. And supposedly, they messed it up. Because they were trying to get in and they caused a password change or something to occur. And that's why they're in this situation now, because they didn't handle it properly. So,
yeah. Yep. Yeah. If they had taken that thing to the right, I don't know if it's government officials, because a lot of times they won't hire the best hackers, frankly, because they're kind of questionable people ethically. Yeah. but I guarantee you, I could hand that phone to one of the white hat hackers that I know, and they could get into that phone on an individual basis. And Apple knows that, and the FBI knows that, but what they want is a systemic backdoor. They are lobbying for something larger than what we're talking about here, which is a single case of getting into that phone for San Bernardino.
Yeah, and it's distressing. It really is distressing because all of your greatest fears about governmental power and abuse are coming true.
Think of how different this conversation would be if we didn't have Edward Snowden, if we didn't all, even me, who supports, you know, what the government is doing and supports government being able to warrant for information and so forth. But having a government that has abused its powers like it did through the PRISM and some of the NSA stuff that Snowden revealed, frankly, we just don't trust them anymore with that kind of a power.
And, you know, John, you heard the stories that the Department of Justice would just give evidence to prosecutors and say, don't ask where it came from. And it came from these extrajudicial means of gathering data. And that's exactly why everyone was nervous about government getting access to this in the first place. So,
and I think part of it lies with Congress and us as voters as well, that they need to act on this. This is a litmus test, a litmus case for ruling on how should information in the digital age, not the 1789, you know, All Writs Act, but the 2000 21st Century Act deal with digital information. How do we want to warrant it? How do we want to share it? What transparency do we have to have? And frankly, Congress hasn't ruled on that in so many years, it's completely obsolete.
Yeah, they've abdicated any reasonable control over this, and all of us now are suffering as a result. Your guess, what's going to happen with this? Is it going to be settled and swept under the rug because it's become such a big stink, or is the government going for the jugular here?
You know, I think the government's going for the jugular, and I ultimately, what I hope happens is that Congress steps in and legislates how it should be handled. So it's not a one-time case. It's something that we, the people, back for every case. Should the government be able to get into every phone when they warrant for it? Okay, that's different than getting into every phone all the time, like they did with our telephone records. So legislate that and give us a standard and give us transparency and let the American people, through their representatives, decide, is that the way to go?
Yeah,
agree. Have some oversight. We are missing oversight on this topic. And the government, and frankly, so is corporate America, they're abusing it. They are using this data in ways that you and I don't know about.
Oh, God, yeah. And with many corporations, all the FBI has to do is ask, and they get whatever they want. Apple's taking a stand here, and I guess they should be lauded for it and supported as well. John, we want to find out more about you, get your book. Where's the best place to go?
You know, my regular website, which is just my name, Sileo, SILEO.com, is a great place if you want to book me for a speech to kind of get your audience engaged in these topics of cybersecurity or purchase any of my books, Privacy Means Profit. And also take a look at our new, we've got a video series that are just 2-minute videos that companies subscribe to. It's called Sileo on Security, or SOS. And they're just little bits and pieces of this so that you can absorb it over time. And that's a brand new thing we're doing and having lots of fun with.
Oh, that's great. It's got a nice ring to it, SOS. So Sileo.com. As always, you'll find a link on the site to John's site and check it out. You can't be too vigilant when it comes to your online security. John, thanks for being on, as always.
Always my pleasure. Good to be with you, and I look forward to coming back.
This has been another episode of the Identity Theft Warriors. To find out more, go to keepmyid.org and use the code FSN2 to get started now.